Blog Talk Radio.
We are going to go ahead and do
and do, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith, and we're going to jump into this lesson. So, Shalom, Sister Mary, Sister Nee, Sister LaGracia, Sister Lorraine, those are the ones that have called in. To those that are listening online to the broadcast, we greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Whether you are in Pal Talk, whether you're on Blog Talk, whether you're on the Internet in general, whether you're in North America, South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or the communist bloc country, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. We have the ladies who cover their head. Men, uncover your head. As we go before the Most High, let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you, O Yah. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol you, Father. We extol you. So you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And so, Father, we just worship you on today and we thank you for today. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for redemption. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are just so wonderful. Hallelujah. We just love you on today, Father. We love you every day. We love you because you first loved us. And we just glory, give you glory, Father, and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, our scripture for this evening is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. On this evening, we are talking about, and may the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, in this precept, we are still in Yah's plan of salvation, and we were looking at depravity, which is that sin nature in man. And we're looking at guilt, okay, on this evening. We'll move on from these two because in the scriptures, let me pull up my lesson here. In the scriptures, man's self-condemnation because of sin against Yah, man has been known to try and hide this guilt. This is what guilt is. It's self-condemnation. That's what guilt is. When we blame ourselves, when we are guilty before the Most High, then a lot of the times we don't want to take accountability for that guilt, for our sin. We want to blame someone else for it. And so we're going to look at some instances in the scriptures, how man reacted to their being disobedient to the word of the Most High, his commandments. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we want to get verses 13 through 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Remember, this is an open forum. And so you're
amen.
All right, amen. Your mic should be open. We all want to participate. And Samuel came to Saul. Now, remember, the Most High told Saul to go to the Amalekites and to kill everything, man, woman, child, dog, pig, goat, kill everything. And this was Saul's assignment. Go to the Amalekites and utterly wipe them out. Everything. The Most High didn't want anything living. And so Samuel's coming to check on him. And did he complete the assignment? And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of Yah. I have performed the commandment of Yah. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleeding of the sheep in my ears? Why am I hearing sheep? You were told to kill everything. So why am I hearing sheep in my ears? And the lowing of oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them. They have brought them. They, who is they, have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto Yah, thy Yah. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. What did Saul just do?
What did he just do?
Yeah, what did he just do?
He just asked him, just told him he didn't keep his word. He didn't do what he was supposed to. He asked him, why do I hear all these things? They're supposed to be dead.
Who did he blame it on?
He blamed it on the people. Saul blamed it on the people.
Amen. He blamed it on the people. And forgive me, I'm closing doors. He blamed it on the people. He didn't take accountability. Now, the people, he's king, right?
Right.
Do you think if he told the people, don't take those sheep, don't take those oxen, kill it all, that they would obey him?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so he's guilty because he's the one in charge. And he had them to keep those sheep because he wanted them to keep those sheep.
Right.
But he blamed it on the people. They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Now, this is what he's saying. So the matter is, he's king, and he could have made sure that what everything was killed, like the Most High said.
Right.
So he blamed. He tried to put blame on the people rather than taking accountability himself. So he deflected. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. How did Adam try to cover his guilt?
He blamed it on the woman.
The woman you
and
gave me.
Amen. That woman you gave me.
You gave me.
Instead of taking what? Responsibility himself?
Yep.
Okay. This is how people usually react when they are busted. They're busted and they haven't done what the Most High said. So the Most High said, Adam, where are you? What have you done? Verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree to eat, and I did eat. But he tried to put the blame on her. I wouldn't have ate if she didn't give it to me. All he had to do was say, I did eat, right?
Right.
But he tried to put the blame on her. And this is usually, you know, what people do. They try to find someone else to blame for their own guilt.
Or make an excuse.
Amen. So let's look at, if you don't repent of that, if you don't come, you know, come from under that, if you don't regenerate, in other words, if you're not converted, what will be the final end of all unregenerated or non-converted sinners? Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. The book of Matthew chapter 25. Let's get verse 41. Verse 41. Let's see here. Okay. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now this is all unregenerated and unconverted sinners. That's where they automatically go to, where?
The lake of fire.
The lake of fire. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Because we know that we got this sin nature in us, and if we're not converted, then the scriptures already tell us what our end is going to be. And we already see that typically we will point at somebody else. We'll blame somebody else for our own, what, guilt, our own transgressions. We'll make an excuse. Shalom, Sister LaGracia. What problem are you having? LaGracia. Yes, can you hear me? What problem are you having? Okay, I won't let you back on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yah. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you are unregenerated or unconverted, meaning that you never received the Holy Spirit, you didn't walk according to the way that the scripture says, then the scripture already tells us your end is where?
The lake of fire.
The lake of fire. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about that. There's no purgatory. And purgatory is like a Catholic doctrine that says, oh, you go to, it's like you go to detention, you serve your time, and then you get out. That ain't in the scripture. That's a man-made doctrine. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, you go, if you're not converted, if you are unregenerated, then you your only end is the lake of fire. Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. The book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. And we're going to look at least eight different kinds of people who are condemned to the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. If you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. But the fearful, wait a minute, fearful people and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Which is the second death. Most High says we're only supposed to fear him and our parents. That's it. If we fear anything else, then we are guilty of what? Sin. If we fear another God, if we are unbelieving of what he says, of what he has had written, anybody know unbelief can get you into the lake?
Yeah.
Anybody know fear can get you into the lake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These other things, you know, we got a lot of people who are fearful. They got a lot of people that are afraid of what? Death.
Hmm.
Got a lot of people who are afraid of everything but what they're supposed to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of people who, even if they know the truth, refuse to believe it. But then we got people who are still walking in unbelief. They kind of believe. They have a certain level of belief, but then they can't believe but so far. That's why the man with the child that was possessed, when he brought his child, and the disciples didn't heal his child, and he lost what, faith? I had enough faith to bring my child here, but your disciples didn't what, heal him. And now I don't know if you can heal him. Help thou my what? Unbelief. Help my faith that I might believe with all our heart. We as the children of the Most High, we cannot walk in unbelief. The Most High wants us to believe what he says, that he will do what he says he's going to do, that he won't do what he says he won't do. The abominable, this is, you know, anybody that is just really outright walking in sin, eating abominable things, doing abominable things, like the gay person. That's an abominable thing in the Most High's eyes. If we touch, he said it was abominable if we even touched.
Yep.
If we ate, you know, things from that were creeping things, it was an abomination. Murderer, somebody that takes a life unjustly. So, you know, it's not a sin to kill or to be, you know, to, you know, defend yourself. But if you go and take a life just to take a life, or you go and take a life because you feel like somebody has offended you, but they haven't really done anything to you that's what, worthy of death, then you are a murderer. Then you're going to go into the lake. Whoremongers, men that chase women. That either sell themselves or they sell the women. He says they're going to the lake. And the way you break down that word whoremonger, well, we know what a whore is. Monger is somebody that sells something. Like a warmonger is somebody that sells what? War. Hmm. And those things of war. So this would be like a pimp. and his merchandise. Sorcerers. People who practice witchcraft. Typically, a sorcerer is a what? Male witch?
Mm-hmm.
But does that include female witches?
No.
Idolaters. People who worship false gods. Anybody worshiping anything than the Most High? So you worship Buddha, or you worship other men, or you worship some demon or something made up in your mind. And some liars.
All liars.
All liars.
All liars. The Most High don't like liars. You know, my father-in-law read the Quran, and the Quran said it was okay to lie. I said, that ain't the same God that's in the Bible. I said, so which God are you going to follow?
Mm-hmm.
I said, because if you found it convenient to be able to tell, a lie when it's convenient. So like if the police come to your house and want to arrest your child, and you don't want to tell them that your child is in the house, it's okay to lie about that. But the Most High said, all liars.
All liars.
All liars.
So that's not a good thing. So, you know, he really doesn't believe that, you know, he really believes that it's okay to tell certain types of lies in certain situations. I said, that's not what the God of the Bible says. I said, so if the God of the Quran says it's okay, then you got to know it's not the same God.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, because we'll tell a lie when it's convenient. Stay out of what? Think we stand out of trouble? We're going to protect somebody's life? You know.
We'll try to impress somebody.
Or try to impress someone. But, you know, the Most High says that we are to, you know, he doesn't lie and he doesn't want us to lie. Scripture says he cannot lie. And he doesn't want us lying. Okay, so these are eight different types. So this is not everybody that's going to qualify. If we try to just use this, then we would be leaving out. Does it say fornicators here?
No.
Does it say adulterers?
No.
Does it say
no.
Thieves?
No.
No.
There's a lot of groups that are not in this group, right?
Yeah.
But we know they're going where? To the lake? Because, you know, we can't just really rely upon what? One scripture?
Right.
If it's covered someplace else. Some people will look at this and say, well, this is the only ones that are really going. Okay. But all of these people are what? Transgressors?
Yeah.
Of the law?
Yeah.
And so it would be anybody that transgresses the what? Law?
Law.
Okay. So guilt will make us blame somebody else. Will make us, you know, make an excuse. Especially if we don't want to own up to it. It's me.
Right.
That's the difference between David and Saul. As soon as Samuel told, or was it Nathan that told David that it's you, he owned up to it. When David pronounced the sentence of what's that man that took the one man's little Yule lamb, and Nathan said it's you, David didn't say, somebody made me take Bathsheba. The men that brought her to me didn't tell me that she was married. Because they actually told him. They told him that Bathsheba was married. But David owned up to it. So we have to understand that our natural nature is really to deny when we're guilty. And we'll try to find somebody else to blame it on. With the Most High One.
Yeah, Esau's
brother
now.
What was that?
Yeah, Esau.
Oh, that's Sister LaGracia coming back in. Let me mute her. Okay, now you shouldn't have an echo.
Okay.
Okay. So depravity is man's nature. To be sinful, his natural nature to be sinful, and we have to fight that. We have to understand that we are sinful creatures, and then that's our battle. It's to what? Not sin. It's to put those thoughts down and to replace them with, you know, thoughts of doing righteousness rather than doing what evil. And then guilt, when we are charged with something and we don't want to feel guilty, then we will point at somebody else. That wasn't me. That was that woman you gave me. That was the people. That was my husband. That was my wife. Anybody but our what? Self. And so we have to stay away from those things. Let's look at the importance of Messiah's atoning death and victorious resurrection, what place it has. Why did Yeshua come into the world? Why did he come into the world? Let's go to John chapter 3. Let's get verse 15. John chapter 3 and verse 15. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. If you, whatever you believe, that's really what you're going to operate out of. And if you believe something and then take no action, do you really believe it?
No.
You really don't. So this belief, you know, just believing should give you the ability to what? Take action? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15. Now, if you believe, as I use as the example, if I say, sisters, your house is on fire. If you believe me, you would get up and go check.
Yeah.
If you thought I was just full of poo-poo, you'd be like, yeah, right. You ain't getting up. You just saying something. We typically, and we really act out of what we honestly, what, believe.
Right.
And so the Most High, you know, when he says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, then you have to believe that. You have to believe that. And then you have to find out how you do that. And then you have to do it. So people will say, well, if you got to do something, it's a work. Well, getting baptized is a work. The baptism ain't going to come to you. You have to go to it. So they try to use these things. They try to use the scriptures against the scriptures. The matter is, when he tells you that you can't be saved by your works alone, it's so that you can't say that you're what? You don't need him. So that you can't say that, you know what? I'm good enough to get into heaven on my own. He says, you can't get out of that sin nature without me. You can't even have your sin atoned for without me. So if you think that you can get in on your works alone and you don't need me, you are sadly what, mistaken?
False.
So don't look at your works. So once you are saved, then you're expected to do good works. Chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Yeshua HaMashiach came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We are all what, sinners?
Yeah.
And he came into the world to save each one of us, but we got to recognize, number one, that we're sinners. Number two, we got to recognize that once we come to him and confess our sins, we're not supposed to continue in sin. Once we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, once we are washed in the water and our sins are paid for by the blood of the Lamb, then we're not supposed to continue in sin. And so I think we have a good understanding of what that process is now. But just like he told the woman that they accused of adultery, after there was no more accusers, he didn't say, you know, you were falsely accused. He told her to go and try not to sin no more.
No, he said go and sin no more.
Sin no more. I think, I have to remember where we read that. He told the man who he cured, who he put down into who was waiting for the angel to trouble the water.
Right.
And he says, I don't have a man to come and put me in the water.
Right.
And Messiah told him to get up and take his bed and carry it away. And then the Sadducees want to say, who told you to carry your bed on the Sabbath? And then when he saw the man again, he told him, hey, go and sin no more, least what?
Something worse will happen to you.
Least something worse come upon you. So we're not supposed to go and say, oh, well, I'm trying not to sin. The commandment is to go and sin no more.
Yeah.
And then the scriptures make allowance for if you do something that you don't know is wrong. Because what the Most High hates is disobedience. He hates that with a passion. Disobedience in the form of what? Willful disobedience. Saul was willfully disobedient. He knew what he was doing when he told the people to what? Keep those sheep alive and keep those bulls alive.
Uh-huh.
He knew what he was doing. It's not something that he did ignorantly, and the Most High rejected him for that. You're king, and you're going to be willfully disobedient against me? And then you're going to deny it? You're going to try to blame somebody else? So the Most High wants us to, if it's ignorant, then we can confess it. If it's willful, then he don't want to hear it. He really does. That's why I say we have to be, you know, very sorrowful and very, you know, repentant when we find out that we have done something that is very egregious to him. And pray that he has mercy on us. But Messiah originally came into the world to save sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Most High. And the first thing Timothy says is what? Of whom I am chief? Hey, if you want to see a sinner, just look at me. But this is who Messiah came into the world to save. Okay, all sinners. Was Messiah a sinless man? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
For we have not a high priest which cannot be feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So Messiah was tempted just like what we all are.
Right.
But he never, what, allowed himself to sin. He didn't dwell on, you know, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. And she must have looked good because she had been with a lot of men. Converted. But it never says once that Messiah, what, lusted after her?
No.
So we got to understand that we are able to be tempted and what, sin not?
Yes.
And you can only be tempted, you know, with things that are in you. So when Satan came to Messiah, there was a reason that he was sent to him. In his form, in his state then, was Messiah the ruler of the whole world?
Yes.
And no. Was he sitting in his throne?
No.
No.
That's why Satan can come and say, if you bow down to me, all these things I'll give to you. They were already his, but he wasn't actually what? In that role or in that position? He was in the role of a what? Servant? So, you know, it's just like if you try to put yourself in his shoes, all of this is going to belong to me. All of it belongs to me. And right now, I'm in the form of a servant, and I'm serving all these that should be serving me. And they don't even want to hear me. And I'm going to give my life for them. And they're the ones wanting to kill me. Why should I die for these people? I mean, there could have been some thoughts that could have gone through his mind. Yet and still, we're told that they didn't, and he sinned what, not?
Not.
Okay. So if it was one of us, we could have said, you know what? I'm not down for these people. Most I know this is what you want me to do, but I don't want to die for them. And I'm not going to. Because they're not worthy. Now, from that standpoint of that flesh, he could have let the flesh take over and allow his flesh to do the talking. Now, he did say, if there's any other way, but not my will be done, your will be done, right?
Yeah.
So he looked at us and said, hey, I don't know about these, but not my will. Your will be done. If it's your will, then this is what I'm going to do. For this purpose, I came into the world, but these people ain't worthy. But I came into the world to die for them, so I'm going to be faithful. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, also suffered for us, leaving us, and what?
Leaving us an example.
That
we should follow in his steps.
So if he was sinless, are we supposed to be trying to become sinless?
Yeah.
Point blank. He's our example. And we're supposed to follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, that's accused, He reviled not again. Suffered. He threatened not. You hit me, I'm going to get you when I come back. He didn't do that. But committed himself to him that judges righteously. So he's our, what, example?
Yeah.
Of how we're supposed to be. And we're supposed to follow after his steps. So how somebody can say that, you know, they're not up under a law, Messiah was sinless because he didn't break any laws, he kept them. So how can we say we're not up under a law and we don't have to keep the law? Then we're not being Christ-like. But we're keeping the laws of Christ. Where were the laws of Christ different than the laws of the Most High?
They weren't.
They weren't. But somehow the church thinks that they were. That he got a different set of laws than the Most High has. When he is who? The Most High?
Yeah.
In flesh? Well, you know, when I'm in the spirit, I got a different set of standards than when I'm in the flesh. No. Same law. That I'm modifying the contract. And you still got to keep all those laws. So he says, we're to be follow after his steps. He didn't sin, we're not supposed to sin. Why did Messiah die? Why did he die on the cross? Why did Messiah die on the cross? So to 1 Peter chapter 3, get 8 verses 18 through 21.
1 Peter chapter 3?
Yes, ma'am. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21.
Amen.
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 All right. For Christ also, for HaMashiach, has also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or given life by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, these spirits that were in prison are all those people who had never heard the gospel prior to the flood. Because the Most High, I told you that Messiah said that they died, they weren't even given a warning. The Most High didn't ever tell them, hey, I'm about to kill you all, repent. He never said that to them. The Messiah said they didn't know that the flood was coming until what?
It was
on them. So what if the death angel showed up at your house the first time you sinned, or just showed up at your house and said, I'm here to kill you because you sinned? And you were never even told that you sinned. You have transgressed the laws of the Most High. I'm here to kill you. How would you feel?
I'd be in shock.
Be in shock? Would you be surprised?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if I didn't know I had sinned.
Would you think the Most High had been unfair?
No, I don't ever think he'd be unfair.
Well, evidently he was, because he went back and preached the gospel to them.
I had never thought about it like that.
Hey, I didn't give them a chance. So let me go back and preach the gospel to them. Now, I don't know if that got them out of the lake of fire. But let's keep reading. Verse 19 again. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were what? Disobedient?
Disobedient.
Which once the long-suffering Elohim waited in the day of Noah while the ark was what?
Prepared.
He was building the ark, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls out of however many people it was in the world. As I looked at them, and their thoughts were what, evil continually? And I'm going to destroy them. But he destroyed them without warning them. I'm just fed up with these people. Their thoughts, rather than do good, they do what?
Evil.
Evil. And he just destroyed them. So Messiah went back and what? Preached the gospel to them. I didn't write it. Verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward Elohim. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. When we, you know, I think people really have to get a clear understanding of what Messiah, who he was and what he actually did, and that his death was able to what? Completely clean them of sin? Their past sin, but it was no matter what they had done, as long as they hadn't blasphemed, it was what, forgivable?
Right.
And they could have a clean conscience. And I think that a lot of people aren't coming to Messiah that way. They're coming to him in a mechanical type of way. They're coming into him not with the full knowledge of what's going on. And so, therefore, they are not converting. You know, when you say that Messiah died for my sin, and you don't really take it seriously for what it actually is, then you can go down in the water and just get wet. Come up out of the water, just wet. Feel no different. You know, because a lot of people go down in the water, come back up, and they're like, I don't know what happened. Nothing happened. Well, you're saved now. But really, if they are not truly converted, they haven't been saved. If they haven't been converted, regenerated in their mind, then they went in the water and just got wet. And so it's very important that people understand so that they can go about baptism. It says that they were supposed to be, how were the people on the day of Pentecost?
Of one accord.
Well, that was after they were changed. How did the gospel make them feel?
Convicted.
How convicted?
Because Peter was telling them that they had to be baptized in the name of Yeshua. And plus that day he said that, what did he say? That Jesus the Christ of whom you said crucified. And when they told them that it was their fault they died, but they had him crucified.
Right. Anybody ever been really hurt by someone? Had somebody do something so wrong to you that your heart hurt? Yeah. if you've ever had that to happen to you, then this is that same type of feeling that they had when they learned that they had killed the Messiah. It says that they were pricked in their hearts. Their heart felt like it was about to bust. That's a lot of conviction. And that is the same conviction that people need to get today in order to understand what Messiah actually did for them. So when you realize that you've been waiting for your Savior and then you find out you killed him. Your people have been waiting for him forever, ever since you got the law. And you've been being told that, you know, there's another prophet coming, that there's one that's going to save you. And then somebody tell you, you just killed him. We did what? You got to be kidding. No, we're not kidding. You just killed your Savior. They were pricked in their hearts. They had been looking for him and missed him. And then when they found out the truth, when they could believe it, it was like it gave them a heartache. You know, like it made them sick to their stomach of what they had done. You see, people don't take Messiah's death that way today. But this is how we are supposed to receive that news when we first hear it. There was somebody that came to get you out of the condition that you're in, and he was killed. Now they glorify it today, but that wasn't a glorious thing. That wasn't a situation where you were supposed to get happy. You know, because you tell people Christ died for their sins, and they get happy today. But the truth of the matter is, did anybody have had to die for your sins?
No.
No. Because we should, the Most High has always wanted us to what? Be obedient?
No.
So how can we justify somebody having to come and die for our sin? I should have been dying, and he died for me. Mm. Now, you might get happy about that, but then the truth of the matter is, really, if you were really looking for him, and he says, you know, don't even look back bad on those people who did it, because had you been back there, you'd have did it too. You'd have killed him too. And then when you found out really what you did, if it's meant for you to find out and to know, then you would have been pricked in your heart. What? Wait a minute. He really was the Messiah? He really was our king and we killed him?
Thank you.
So, you know, I don't know how else to put that for people to understand, you know, what their mentality should be when they're coming to get baptized. But that's the best example I can come up with from the scriptures. You're supposed to be heartbroken that somebody had to die for your sin. Okay, let's keep going. Messiah was nailed to the cross in our place. And do I have an echo again?
No.
Okay, maybe it's just on my end. Messiah was nailed to the cross in our place as a substitute or vicariously. Let's look up this word vicariously. And let me get Webster's Dictionary. Vicariously. In a way that is experienced in the imagination through the actions of another. He was a substitute for us. Who should have been dying on the cross?
We should have been.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse, let's get verse 18 again. And when you have it, say amen.
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 Also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Yah, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. He was nailed to the cross in our place for our sins. The just for us, the unjust. So, the one who should be dying is us. But the Most High says, I'm going to give you a chance. And I require a sacrifice. And I require blood. Because the covenant that you were up under was a blood covenant. And sin entered the world by one man, Adam. He said, so I'm going to use the blood of one innocent man to pay for the blood of all, just like all men entered into death.
Wow.
Then I'm going to use the blood of one man to offer and to bring all men out of what? Death.
Yeah.
It was by the blood of Messiah, the sinless sacrifice. And if we come up under his blood, then we qualify for life. But then we must go and sin no more. Trying not to sin, you know, we're doing our best. Because he didn't tell the woman to go and do your best. Don't sleep with 15 men. Sleep with 5 only a week. Cut down. Not what he told her. What did Messiah bear on the cross for us? What did he bear on the cross for us? And I think that if I'm hearing, Sister Denise, you got your speakers up, don't you?
No.
No? Then I don't know where that's coming from. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, to live unto righteousness. How are you supposed to be to sin?
Supposed to be unto righteousness.
Dead to sin. That means that sin is not supposed to be a part of what your life.
Right.
Everything that you used to do, kill it off. I no longer do that anymore. I used to lie. I don't lie. I used to cheat. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I used to fornicate, I don't fornicate. I used to commit adultery, I don't commit adultery. So forth and so on. Anything that we were doing, we're supposed to be what? Dead to it.
Yeah.
Which means it's dead to us. I don't do that anymore. Should live and should live unto righteousness. Should live unto lawfulness. Doing what? Righteousness is doing right. To do right, as we understand by the scriptures, is to obey the laws, statutes, commandments, the ordinances of the Most High, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, what does that mean, by whose stripes you were healed? because people, I find people misuse this verse. They think that they're going to get a physical healing out of this. But what nature, what did he die for?
Our sin.
Your sin. And so he made it to where all the sin that you had, the charges that were against you, were wiped away. You were made whole. You were made clean. You were healed. Not that you might have had palsy or cancer and you got healed. That's not what that verse is used for. He came to heal our what? Sin nature. He did heal some people of what? Physical ailments and stuff.
Yeah.
But his death on the cross was not to heal our physical ailments. It was to heal our sin nature. It was to get us away out of sin.
Right.
And so every one of those stripes that he took led to his what? Death?
Yeah.
And his shedding of his blood is what allows us to be healed from sin because he paid the price. So all those stripes we should have taken. That thorn, that crown of thorns should have been put on our head and beat into our head. Being spit at, spit on, and punched. We should have taken all that. And the Most High was super mad. Because he allowed stuff to be done to Messiah until he was not recognizable by his own mother. Did anybody know that?
I didn't.
Yes. I'll find the scripture. He was beaten until he was unrecognizable, even by his mother. So he didn't take a couple of punches or a couple of, you know, hits on the head. They beat him until he was not recognizable. So I'll find those verses. Now, you know it's something when your own mama can't recognize you.
Yeah.
So by him going through all that, you were healed from your, and supposed to be healed from your sin nature. That's why when we understand what all he went through, that's why I tell people, if you watch The Passion of the Christ, a lot of people don't like that movie. Some people don't like to look at it. But the movie is really, you know, I give him his credit because he shows exactly what Messiah went through based on the scripture. And he was abused to that. He was not recognized. And hearing that is one thing. Seeing it is a whole other thing. A picture is worth what? 1,000 words? So, you know, it definitely had an effect on me when I saw it. Even though I had read it in the scriptures, it had just a whole total new level of impact on me. Just a minute. See if I can find that verse.
Seeing The Passion of Christ, too, yeah, it was deep.
Amen. You know, some people get caught up in other things about it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the truth is he depicted Messiah, you know, what he went through in the last moments of his life.
Wow.
Exactly as the scripture said. And for me, that is, you know, that's what's most important. All this stuff about, you know, what was going on with Satan and all this other stuff. You know, that was a matter of interpretation or whatever. To heighten the movie or whatever, but the truth of it is, did he stick to the scriptures when it described, you know, Messiah's death? Go to Isaiah chapter 52. Mary?
Yeah, I can imagine he was undescribable to his brother, because that was deep passion of Christ.
Amen.
If you really got into it, it would make you cry.
It do. It did. And every time I look at it, I cry.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 and 14. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 and 14. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, or the way he looked, was so marred, more than any man, and his form was more than the sons of men. Now, to put this in English, so marred, more than any man, means that he was, what does the word marred mean?
Eat up.
Yeah, he was disfigured.
Brother Miles, do you think that he was almost dead when they nailed him to the cross, right?
Yeah, he was close, still lived.
They nailed him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he lived like 3 hours after they nailed him on the cross.
Yeah.
So, you know, he took more. They know that there's only a certain amount of stripes that a man can take.
Right.
So that's why they would say 39 stripes. Because they knew 40 stripes would usually kill a man.
Hmm.
But he took the full 40. And, you know, those Roman whips were like, they weren't just a single whip. It had like five, you know, tails on them. And inside those tails were bone and metal.
And every time they hit you with it, it tear off some of your skin.
Yeah, they would actually hit you with, now imagine somebody hit you with a belt that has nails in it. The nails stick in you. And then they rip the nails out of you. They rip it through your flesh. They don't pull them out of you. They rip them out of you. So now imagine that it was jagged bone and that kind of stuff. Then it's not going to go straight in you. And when it tears, it's going to tear what, jaggedly?
Right.
It's going to rip you open, jagged-like. And they hit him like that. 40 times, and just tore his back wide open.
Wow.
So, you know, your back, your lungs get exposed, your vertebrae gets exposed, your ribs, your liver, your kidneys.
Yeah, all that's in your back.
Right. It all get exposed. So he was marred, his visage was so disfigured more than any man. He was unrecognizable. All right, let's get back to this lesson. So by his stripe, by his disfigurement were you healed. The Most High had Messiah, let's see, and this pleased the Most High. Let's see. Rather than do it to all men, it pleased the Most High to take out all this on his Messiah. I was going to find that verse, but I thought it was in the same chapter. Maybe I'll find it before we stop tonight. Go to Romans chapter 4. In verse 25. So he was put on the cross to bear our sins. I'm going to see it another way. Romans chapter 4, 25, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Who was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered to the cross for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That we might come up under the blood and be justified in the eyes of the Most High.
Wow.
But he went to the cross for our offenses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 5 and verse 21. And when you have it, say amen.
Oh.
Amen. Just need to write them papers.
I got it. 5:21. Amen.
Amen. For he has made him to be sin for us. Messiah was made to be what?
Sin for us.
Think about that. My nature is to destroy sin. And I just made Messiah to be sin.
Wow.
For us. Who knew no that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim in him. So we have to give Messiah credit for what he did. We have to always acknowledge that. For what he did. He went to the cross for our sins. For our offenses. And he was made to be sin for us. That, you know, made to be sin. So at one time, the Most High looked at him and said, what I see is what?
Sin.
I see sin. And my nature is to destroy and punish sin. So he took out all of his wrath on Messiah, on that body. That you are so mad and so against something that you beat it until you can't recognize. That's something. I see you as sin. I'm gonna put all their sin on you, and I'm gonna see you as sin, and I'm gonna take out all my wrath on you. Everything I want to do to them, I'm gonna do to you. I want to punish them until I can't recognize them for their disobedience. And rather than take it out on us, he took it out on Messiah. Took it out on that body. Now he says, if you willfully sin against Messiah after I've done this to him, after I done beat him beyond recognition, and you're gonna sin against them willfully?
Mm.
I need to do something worse than beat you beyond recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what that's about. I need to give you a punishment far worse than I put on Messiah. Because that's what I wanted to do to you. And I did that so that you could, what, come out from under sin?
Right.
So that you could be acceptable with me? And then you're going to willfully go back and just disrespect what he just went through?
Mm.
So you deserve something worse than this. What is now offered through the name of Yeshua? What is now offered since he went through and suffered all that for us? Went through that beating, got disfigured more than any man. He couldn't be recognized by his mother. Back all torn open. Go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Two things are offered through the name of Messiah. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Jesus Christ.
No.
He didn't say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, did he?
No.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a what? It's a gift that the Most High gives to those that are truly repentant, that truly believe. The remission of sins, the forgiveness of your sins, the wiping out of your sins. So those are the two things that are offered through the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. The remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Can't do halfway. Can't go down in the water and then don't receive the Spirit. Because then you've gone halfway. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you, then you really need to tarry. You really need to go before the Most High and figure out what, why. Be asking why. And you really want to know that it's happened to you because you want to have something that confirms it. You do not want to go down in the water and come up and say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I told you were. But you should know that you know that you know that you know. It should not be something that in any other scriptures, do you ever find any of them saying, I think I got filled with the Holy Spirit?
No.
They don't never say that. When somebody got filled by the Holy Spirit, it was something that was what? Known? Okay. By whoever received the Holy Spirit and those that witnessed it. So it's going to be witnessed. Was Peter a witness that Cornelius and his family had received the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay, so Cornelius and his family didn't just jump up and say, we received the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
It was a witness there by Peter himself that the Most High has given them the Holy Spirit, and by the other Jews that were there with him, that the Most High had given them the Holy Spirit. Spirit enter into them?
No.
No. Didn't see it. But they saw something. They heard something, right?
Right.
Okay, and we want to know, make sure today that same thing, that's what I tell people, we want to have, pray to the Most High that you have the same experience that the apostles and all the witnesses in the scriptures had. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. So that you know that you know. Because there's a difference when you know that you know. There's a difference in believing something and knowing something. You know, we can believe that we're spacemen. Until we go to outer space, then we'll know it, right?
Right.
I've been there, done that. I had that helmet on, and I know I was a spaceman. Because you actually did it. And so we want to know that we know. We don't want to just believe it. Because you can know that you are saved. Did anybody know that?
Yeah.
You don't have to just believe you're saved. You can know it. Because a lot of people will say, it says, those that endure to the end. So yeah, but if you do what the scriptures say, you can know that you're what?
Saved.
Because he's going to be true to his what? Word?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be true to his word. And he tells you that you can know that you're saved. And when we get into the spirit, I'll go into that more, because we're going to have a whole different, a whole lesson on the Holy Spirit. It's like we're going to have a whole lesson on water baptism. And he said, you must be born of the water and of the spirit. They deserve their own, what, lesson? In depth. So we'll get into that more then. Acts chapter 4 was offered through Messiah's name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other what?
Name.
That's why it's important that you get baptized into his what?
Name.
In his name. In Acts 2:38, did Peter say, be baptized, every one of you in the name of?
Yeah.
You're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
For the remission of sin, because there is no other name. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Not a name. Those are all what?
Titles.
Titles. For the same entity. So if there's another way for you to prove that that there's only what, one name? It says there's no other name, right?
No.
But he told them to baptize in the name of the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that the Holy Spirit was Gabriel. Let's say that the Son's name is Yeshua or Jesus and the Father's name is Jehovah. You ever heard of anybody saying, I baptize you in the name of Jehovah and in the name of Jesus and in the name of Gabriel?
No.
You ever heard anybody say, I baptize you in the name of Jehovah, in the name of Jesus, and in the name of the Holy Spirit?
No.
They will repeat the titles because they don't really understand the name, but it tells you right here there's no other name, right?
Yeah.
And then if you follow what Peter said, he gave you the name, right?
Right.
So the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, I come in whose name?
My Father's name.
My Father's name. Yeshua. Yah is salvation.
Hallelujah.
For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Got to be baptized in his name. He says, in everything that we do it in what?
His name.
His name. Everything. That includes baptism. So when, if anybody's out there been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you need to be what?
Rebaptized.
Because somebody just repeated the titles over you. And we might know who that is, but he says that there is no other name. It's important that we are obedient to what we're being told. Use the name. There's power in his what?
Name.
Luke chapter 24. So you receive salvation by having your sins remitted, and by receiving the Holy Spirit, you receive salvation. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. What should be done in his name? Luke chapter 24, verse 47. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So repentance, true repentance with godly sorrow. And the repentance, the remission of sins, are for the transgression of the laws of the Most High. So why would you have to repent of the laws of the Most High if you weren't up under the law? Why do you got to be sorry for something that don't apply to you? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
It makes sense that you should have to do it, but if you don't, if you say you're not up under the law, why are you repenting for it?
Right.
That don't make sense.
Right. It's like you're sorry for something that you didn't do.
Right, that you're not even accountable for.
Right.
So it's double talk. Talking out both sides of your neck. On this side, I'm sorry for breaking your law. And on this side, I'm not up under your law.
You're not right.
It makes no sense. How do we receive salvation? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Page 9. When you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to believe. You got to have faith in what Messiah did. And because you believe in what Messiah did and you do what he told you to do, repent and be baptized, then by grace are you saved. The Most High says, I'm extending grace to you to save you. I'm allowing you to take credit for something that you didn't do. How many of us got up on that cross and died?
None of
that.
But we still get to come up under the blood of Messiah and get credit for his death. Supposed to die. But I'm going to let you come up. I'm going to let you claim the death of Messiah and give you credit for death. Where you physically don't have to die, but I'm going to give you credit for death. So that means that if you really are doing what he said to do, that old man you should have what, put down?
Yeah.
Most I hear you. I understand you. I believe that Messiah died for my sin. I'm no longer going to be a sinner. That old me is going to go up under the blood of Messiah, and I'm going to die with Messiah. Come up out of this water a different what creature, a new man, a new woman. So it is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of Yah, not of works, lest any man should what?
Boast.
Brag about it. If you thought that you were not a sinner and you thought that, you know, you were a good person, you might say, what, I don't need Messiah? I can get into this thing on my own. So he says, we're going to take away your work. I don't care how many homeless people you fed. I don't care how much clothes you put on somebody that was naked. I don't care how much you took care of your mother and your father. Until you come through Messiah, you are still a sinner. Until you recognize what Messiah did, you can't come out of that condition of sin. You can't get that washed off of you. You can't pay the price for yourself because you are a sinner. You can't sacrifice yourself. Because your blood is what?
Dirty,
tainted. Are we supposed to bring a sacrifice? Is the sacrifice supposed to be without blemish?
Yes, it is.
And sin puts a blemish on us. we can't pay for it ourselves. Our very conception was sin. We were shapen in what? Iniquity. Truth of the matter is, we couldn't pay for it ourselves. We couldn't shed our blood and pay the price ourselves. And he says, and your works can't get you out of this. I require what? Blood. And your blood is tainted. You can't pay for it yourself. And you can't, you know, no matter how many works you do, if I take your blood from you, if I drain the blood from your body, what's going to happen to your body?
It's going to die.
And you might say, well, I can give a couple of drops. I require all of your blood. I require your life. I require your blood till you die. And your blood is tainted, so you can't pay for yourself. So you require the sacrifice. That was Messiah, the Lamb of the Most High. He paid the price for you. Recognize that and give him glory and honor for it, and honor him in that when you come up under his blood, you are no longer going to sin. I'm giving you a clean record. As far as you knew what was sin was, you what? Repented of it. You confessed it. So that means that whatever you confessed, you knew was what? Sin?
Yeah.
Can't confess what you don't know. And if you don't think something is a sin, you're surely not going to what? Confess it?
Right.
So whatever you confess, you at least admitted that that was what? Sin?
Right.
And you were supposed to do what? Repent of it.
Right.
Turn away from it. He says, all right. You have confessed for what you knew. Now somebody's going to come and show you that there's some things that you were doing that you didn't know were sin. That means that you were doing it, but you were doing it what? Ignorantly. And you can confess that. Repent of it. Turn away from it the day you find out about it. And I am true and just to forgive you. I hope we can see and understand this process. Because what you already knew, you confessed it. Stuff you don't know. Confess that it's you, that you were doing it ignorantly, and I am true and just to forgive you. Now, what if you go back and do some of that stuff? What if you go back and do some of that stuff that you confessed before that you knew was a sin?
And you did that willfully.
You did it knowing it was sin, then, right?
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's a problem. Okay. And we want to know that that's a problem. Because now you're doing something that you know is sin, but you're going to do it anyway. You told him when you first came to him, you knew what was wrong. Forgive you. Now you're going to do it again and then expect him to do what? Forgive you?
Right.
Does he say that he forgives that? Does he say in the scripture that he forgives that?
For willful sin.
For willful sin.
No, he don't.
No, he don't.
He don't. And that's what we need all people to understand. It is a lie. When should we seek salvation? When should we seek salvation? Go to Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. And Sister Denise, if you'll read that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Proverbs. The will of God. Okay.
7
and verse 1. Okay. I'm going to end it.
Comes after Psalm.
Got it. 7 and 1?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
So tomorrow is not promised to you.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well,
you could go to sleep tonight and not what? Wake up?
Yep.
You can get up tomorrow, get on the bus, step off the bus, and somebody hits you. We don't know what tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to us. So when should you seek salvation? Go to Isaiah 55.
Today. 55 and 1?
Isaiah 55 and 6.
Yeah, while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near.
Seek him while he may be found. There may come a time in your life when he can't be found. He may stop calling you. He may stop unctioning you. He may determine that you're what, reprobate?
Right.
And leave you. So while you can feel him tugging at your heart to come, you need to do what? You need to come. Verse 7.
Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yah. And he will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly
pardon. So let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto Yah. And he will have mercy upon him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. Our way. Second Corinthians chapter 6. And Sister Mary, if you will get that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
When he said, I have heard thee in a time of acceptance, in the day of thy salvation, have I assured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of thy salvation.
Why are you adding words in there?
Of thou is the day of salvation.
Okay. Amen. Don't be adding no words in there. When is the day of salvation?
Now.
When should we come to salvation?
Right now.
Now.
The day you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. So if we have not come to salvation, whenever we hear and understand that we need to be saved, we need to do what?
Do it.
Need to do it. Need to come. And be saved from all our sins. What cleanses us from all our sins? Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to get verse 7, and that would be Sister Mary.
The life. As he is the life, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins.
So what can cleanse us from all our sins?
The blood of
Jesus. Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
His blood cleanses us. His blood paid the price. By paying the price, then it's like the example I give you guys. If I loan you $100, the only way for you to not owe me $100 is to what?
Pay it.
Pay it. Even. Yeah. So if you only way for you to get come from under that debt and not be a debtor is to pay your debt, right?
Right.
Even if I forgive you, you're just a forgiven what?
Debtor.
Debtor. But it says when he paid the price for us, we were purchased. With a price, right?
Yeah.
So we are bought with a price, and that price. Amen. And we can't pay that back. So his blood is what we are dead. Can the law of Moses save us? Go to Romans chapter 20.
Romans
chapter 3 and verse 20. And that will be for Sister Mary. And then Sister Denise, you'll get Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Romans 3 and 20.
Yes, ma'am.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, thou shalt no flesh justify.
Go back and read that again.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh by in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of truth.
What does the law give us?
The knowledge of sin.
Right. The law tells us what sin is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The law was not designed to what? Save us.
No.
The law was designed to tell us right from wrong in the eyes of the Most High. The law condemns us if we what? Break it?
Right. Yeah.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through our
Messiah.
I say, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So being justified by faith, we have peace with Yah through our Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes.
Okay. So it's by our faith in him. We have peace with him. But if we have faith with him and believe him, then we're going to do what he says to do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We're not going to offend him.
No.
No.
So that we can be at what? Peace with him?
Yes.
So that we can be at peace with the Most High?
Yes.
Then we are not at peace with him anymore. He's not at peace with us. I think we need to say it that way so people understand. When we transgress, the Most High is not at peace with us. He said we have become his adversary. So the nature of the relationship changes. Do you have the same relationship with your friend that you have with your enemy?
No.
That's, but we think the Most High, you know, no matter what, he's going to remain, what, the same?
Right.
As far as relationship goes, when he says, I'm going to destroy my enemy. So if you make yourself his enemy, then what should you be expecting?
Destruction.
But you love me too much to destroy me.
What the book says.
They don't say that, but that's what people try to make him.
Yeah.
They try to make him to where he has to love them so much that he wouldn't destroy them.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover tonight. We're going to go over a few minutes. We've got a good bit of reading here to do. Why was the law given? We're going to cover that, and then we're going to call it a night. Why was the law given? The book of Matthew, chapter 5. And let's get verses 17 through 20. And Sister Mary, you do that, and then you'll be up again, Sister Denise. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20.
Think not that I came to change, to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all he fulfilled.
Keep going.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men do so, and stand so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed your unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scriptures.
Not as pride.
The scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
So Messiah said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not coming to what? Degrade them, put them down, do away with them. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill, right?
Fulfill.
I'm going to show you how to fulfill the law. Not do away with it. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
The least.
the least in the kingdom of heaven. If you teach men to break the commandments, he's talking about the law, right?
Right.
He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. So whosoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches other men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, do and teach, who is them?
The peace of the
law.
The law. The commandment. That's the them in there. It's not talking about people. It's talking about the what? Commandment?
The law.
Right. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So whosoever shall say that we're not up under the law shall be great in the kingdom.
No.
Whosoever shall teach men to break the law and not keep it shall be great in the kingdom of heaven.
No.
Whosoever shall teach the law to the law shall be what?
Great.
So how is it that they get out of Messiah that there's no law? Because that's going strictly against what he said, right?
Right. Perhaps they're reading a different Bible?
I don't know. They seem to be trying to read the same one we do, but they selectively read what they want to read. Selective ignorance. But whosoever shall do the law and the commandments and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise, in no case, enter into what?
Kingdom of heaven.
So how do they expect to get in?
I don't know.
You see how ludicrous this is? How people teaching the doctrine of men and got people following them? When Messiah himself said it, who shall teach men, who shall outdo, not just teach men, but what? Be a doer of the law?
Right.
And teach men to be a doer of the law. But we ain't up under that law. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. That'd be Sister Denise. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40.
Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love Yah, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
On these two commandments cancel out all the rest of the law and the prophets.
Nope.
On these two commandments hang all the law. So if you took all the law and you grouped it, laws that concern how you are to behave toward the Most High, and laws that teach how you are to behave toward your fellow man, you can group them all up under these two commandments, because the first and great commandment is to love the Most High with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. That's how he wants us to love him, right? And then he tells us, give us commands on how to do
right.
That, what he wants done.
Right.
And then he tells us how to what? Teach our, how to treat our fellow man.
Right.
And then he gives us commandments that tell us how to do that. So this is, these two are a summarization of all the what?
The law.
All the law. So you got to go and find out what he says, how to love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Treat your brother as you would treat yourself. So if your brother does something that is offensive, do you, if you do something else, do you always hold it against yourself?
No.
No, you forgive yourself, right?
Right.
Don't even, can't even think about it.
Right.
Might say, man, I'm being stupid or something. But you go on about your business. You don't sit in the mirror and punch yourself in the face.
Right.
If you're hungry, if you're hungry, do you go get something to eat?
Yes, you do.
If your friend or one of your, somebody else was hungry and you had the ability to feed them, and it was time to eat, would you feed them? Talking about. On these two rest all of the law, not he did away with all the rest of the law. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, and that would be Sister Denise again, and then Sister Mary, get ready for Galatians chapter 3. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7.
Say then, is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
So the law identifies what? Sin?
Sin.
Yes.
And he said, I wouldn't even have known what lust actually was unless the law was, told me what it was. I would have not have known that was lust. It was just have been my way. So is the law sin? Yah forbid. The law identifies sin. The law identifies what is good, and then if we don't do what's good, we what? Sin. So the law identifies what is sin for us. It is not sin itself. So if you say don't keep the law, then you're really telling somebody to be a what, lawbreaker?
Right.
And to be a sinner. If you tell somebody to keep the law and you say by keeping the law you're a sinner, then you are twisted. Because the law is not sin. It identifies sin. And it says, so, shall we say then, is the law sin? Who forbids us to say that?
Elohim, the Most High.
Yah forbids. Say that. It was like saying, is keeping the laws of the Most High sin? Elohim says, to do what the Most High says do, is that sin? Elohim forbid.
No.
That what I tell you to do, you call it what?
Sin.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 through 29. And when you have it, Sister Mary, you can go ahead and read.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all the children of Elohim by faith through Christ Jesus.
Keep going.
Okay. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you all are one in Christ.
Amen. So he's not saying that when you come up from under the schoolmaster, when you come up under Christ, that you no longer are under the law. He says you're no longer under the what? Teacher. You should not need to be taught what the law is.
All right.
So when we come to Christ, are we supposed to have confessed our sins, our transgressions of the law?
Yeah.
You can't confess a transgression unless you know it's a what? Transgression?
Right.
Which means you must know at least something of the what?
The law.
The law. Now, we're supposed to be being taught what the law is. And this is what the church is not doing. Teaching people the laws of the Most High so that they don't no longer need a schoolmaster to be taught the law, and they should keep it by faith in who? Messiah?
Right.
By faith in him. Messiah died for my sins. He died for my transgressions. Now I'm going to keep the law through my faith in him. Saying that we are no longer under the law. We're not under the schoolmaster. When you graduate from school, you no longer need a what? Teacher?
Teacher, right.
So right. People want to say, well, everything that the teacher taught me, I need to what? Forget it?
No, don't work
that. I don't have to do it. I don't have to remember it. No, that's not what this person is saying, but that's how they interpret them. No longer under a schoolmaster.
Right.
Meaning you're no longer under the teacher, but you should have learned the lesson.
It's like if you're in kindergarten and you go to first grade, you should already know your ABCs when you get to first grade.
Amen. You don't forget your ABCs because you're in first grade.
No.
So this is the same concept, and this is what it's talking about in these verses. But you know, when people read these verses and say that we're no longer up under a schoolmaster, because it said the law is our schoolmaster, they said, well, we're no longer under the what? Law?
Law.
And they are missing what the verse is actually trying to what? Teach them? The law was your teacher. And it taught you what was sin, what was right and wrong. When you come to Messiah, you should know what's right and wrong. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, and that would still be used in Samaria. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. And when you have it, you can just go ahead and read.
Who, me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
The Samaria.
Know ye not that as many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized to death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve him. For he that is dead is free of sin.
So, let me go back and paraphrase this so we get full understanding what is being said in these verses. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, were baptized into his what?
Into his death.
So the Most High is going to give you credit for death. Therefore, we are buried with him. Do we bury live things?
No.
Are we supposed to bury anything that's alive? No. So you should have died when you came to Messiah to your what? Sin. And that old you should have what? Died and been buried.
Mm-hmm.
And baptized in what? His death.
Right.
So therefore are we buried with him by baptism into death. That old man went down and died and went down into the grave. That's what the water represents. That like as Yeshua, like as Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So when you come up out of that water, you're supposed to be, that's to represent to you what, a new life?
Right.
I was dead, and now I'm rising up out of the what? Grave. In the newness of what? Life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his what?
Resurrection.
So we get to symbolically come up out of the grave, receive newness of life, but then there's going to come a time when we're going to physically, what, die?
Right.
And he promises to, what, resurrect our body, just like he resurrected the body of Messiah. But we're supposed to walk in this newness of life because he's saying, what I'm doing for you is I'm going to give you credit for death. So kill that old man and bury him in who?
Christ.
In Christ, in Messiah. Now, when you come up out of that water, consider yourself a new what? Person. That old you still in that grave. In who? Christ. But you come up out of the water a new being. Because you're buried with him in baptism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when you get, this is why baptism is not just an outward sign of an inward change. You dying and being what?
Resurrected.
And being buried.
Oh.
You got to be buried first, right?
Right.
You died, now we're going to bury you. And then you're going to resurrect out of the grave a new person, sinless. Everybody understand that process?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get baptized, you never died to your sins. You were never what? Resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
So walk in this new life. We have done that. Then he says, now, yeah, they're going to, you're walking as a new person, but until Messiah comes back, you will still be planted in his likeness. You're going to get buried for real. And just like he got resurrected for real, then you will get what?
Resurrected.
For real. But until that time, you've already killed that old man. And you're supposed to be walking in the likeness of his resurrection, like you the new man. So everybody got to understand that baptism is not just going down in the water and what? Getting wet?
Right.
You're supposed to consider the cost. I'm going to kill off this old person. I'm going to do away with my sins, with sinning, and I'm going to die. And I'm going to be buried in Mashiach. I'm going to be buried in Christ. That's what the water represents. I'm going to go down in the grave. And you we bury things in a grave, right?
Right.
So the water represents a grave. You are buried in the grave, and you're buried into Mashiach, into his death. The Most High says, okay, they baptized you, buried you in the name of Messiah. Now I'm going to give you credit for death, and I'm going to see you as Messiah. So when you come up out of that water, you're supposed to be a new creature, a new being. You are, at this point, sinless. And you are clean. That old person, you just buried him. Who comes up out of that water is a new creature. Sinless in the eyes of the Most High. Until you do what? So let's go to knowing this, that our old man was what?
Dead.
Crucified.
Crucified.
When they crucified somebody, did they crucify or did they crucify them to death?
They crucified them to death.
To death. So your old man was killed with Messiah. That the body of sin might be what?
Destroyed.
Destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Meaning that you shouldn't be sinning no more. That shouldn't be what you're living for. For he that is dead, if you're dead, what are people in the grave doing?
Oh,
are they in the grave? Are they in the grave fornicating?
They're not doing anything.
You're freed from what?
Sin.
Because you ain't doing nothing. So when you go down in that water, you're supposed to be freed from sin. You come up out of that water, you're a new creature. You're not supposed to be bound by and living for sin. That old man is supposed to be what? Dead and gone. Now, if you understand that, then you can have a clean conscience. I was that man. I'm not that man anymore. You can't hold that against me. The Most High don't hold that against me. And neither am I going to walk in it. The problem is nobody can see your spirit. So when you come up out of that water, your old friends still see what? That old body?
Right, yeah.
And they still think it's the old you.
Yep.
Now, if you've truly been converted, it's not the old you. Let's get one more verse, and then we'll call it a night. Let me find this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's get verse 17. And I'll read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Yeshua HaMashiach, he is a new what?
Creature.
Old things have what?
Passed away.
Passed away.
When somebody passes away, we say they what?
They died.
They died. All things have died. Behold, all things are become what?
New.
New. You're supposed to become a new creature. You're not that same old creature that went down in the water, but when you come up out of that water, you're supposed to be a what?
New creature.
A new creature. A sinless creature. Without sin. You have no sin. You are washed clean. And you're not supposed to live for sin anymore. Not that you're supposed to be trying not to sin. Because if you're trying not to sin, then maybe that old man didn't what?
Die.
Didn't die. Maybe you didn't actually go through the process. Maybe you didn't understand that you're supposed to put away all those things. You're supposed to kill them. Kill them off. That's not me any longer. I don't do those things anymore. They are dead to me. I am a new creature. This is his plan of salvation. This is how he changes us. This is how he gives us a clean conscience. Sin is, and being a sinner is, then you wiped away, you took all that away from me. And in the eyes of the Most High, you are a new creature. You're not the same creature. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you tonight for letting us understand how guilt affects us, that we will point to someone else. We won't take the blame ourselves. We have to take the blame for our own sins and for our own transgressions. And you said that we must do this through Messiah. We must recognize what he came for and what he did for us. And that these things should have happened to us, Father, but you took them out on your Lamb. And you gave us through baptism the ability to kill the old man, our old sinful man, and bury him in Christ. In Yeshua HaMashiach, you are raised to a new life as a new creature without sin. And that we must teach men to do and keep your commandments. And not teach them that we are not up under the law. For we are still up under the law. Except for we keep them by faith in Messiah. And we do them. So, Father, we thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for what Messiah came and did for us. For he made a way out of no way, Father. We were not able to pay the price ourselves. And he came and paid it for us. And made a way that we could return back to you. And we always shall always be so thankful to him that we would not dishonor what he has done, but that we would walk in his ways, for he is our example. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We will pick this up because we still are not done with this lesson. We're not done with Yah's plan of salvation. Start getting into what sins, you know, I've taught this so many times, but it's part of this lesson, what sins are forgiven when we come to Christ, when we come to Mashiach, what happens when we willfully sin, because everybody needs to understand that, can good works save us? We've already covered a lot of this. Why are good works important? What does faith in Yeshua and Yah do through Christ? What does faith in Yah through Christ do for us? We want to understand completely what it is that he has for us. And so we still got a lot to talk about here. And I don't even know if if next class will be enough to cover all this. Looks like we still got maybe 3 or 4 lessons left in this, okay, to cover it in depth where we know it. So we will pick up next week where we left off at here. Pick up where we left off at. And what does faith in Yah through Christ do for us? We'll pick it up there. I pray that somebody got something out of this teaching. For those of you that are online, we pray that, you know, if you have been taught in error, that you are taking notes, take it to your pastor, take it to your teacher. Ask them concerning these things, and then come back. If they give you something different than what you were told here, then let me know what they said so that we can address it, because we are here. We don't care who's right. We just want to know what's right. And we're going to go strictly by the scriptures. If I can't show it to you in the scriptures, I won't tell you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Sister, who prayed us out yesterday? Was that you, Samaria, if you will pray us out on tonight?
Yes.
If you will pray us out on tonight.
Okay. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for the sisters and the brothers that are online, and hope that they also get understanding. Thank you for Brother Miles, and continue to bless him with his words, Father, that he may continue to help those of us that are trying to get closer to his precious hands. My prayer, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, so today is Tuesday. We will meet again on Thursday for the business meeting.
No. New moon.
Oh, is Thursday new moon? Yes.
Yes.
So we will have new moon service on Thursday. Thank you for keeping me in line. So new moon service on Thursday. So have your food, have your grape juice, because we do a communion with the new moon service. I encourage everybody to attend. It is a feast day or a Sabbath that we are commanded by the scriptures to keep. I don't care what anybody else says. It is in the Word, and so even in the New Testament, he tells you in your new moons and in your, don't let anybody judge you in them. And really what he's meaning is don't let anybody tell you not to keep them, because you get judged when you what? Break the commandments.
No.
So don't let anybody judge you in these things, because you should be keeping them. They are a type and a shadow. They are a shadow of things to come, the outline of them. And we are supposed to follow the outline until we're shown deeper things, shown the details. So we will have new moon on Thursday, no business meeting. And those that will be for August and the next month will be trumpets. And we will be in Exodus chapter 19 for trumpets. And we will look at, you know, what trumpets represent. And the Most High presented himself to his people. And he's the same way he came and showed Israel himself, the same way he's coming back with the trumpet, the last trump. And so we want to understand the moves of the Most High. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. My job is to simply teach you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Remember, family, fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
All right, let me find
Shalom.
Out. Shalom, sister. Mr. Lorraine. All right. Let me do the theme song, and we are out. Peace out.
Peace out.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, our perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe. And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do, if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do, if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do, if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, are perfect.
Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Sister Denise.